Now, it is my honour to welcome Jackie to come and speak this morning, but not just yet, because I've got to do the introduction.
All right.
Okay. Play the music. No, I'm kidding. No. You got to do the good intro. Okay, when I thought, okay, I'm going to introduce Jackie, I think, what do I think about Jackie? So I know Jackie is passionate and dedicated to imparting to children and helping parents be better at what they do and how they do it. So I looked up, I like looking up words online and thesauruses and that. So I looked up the words passionate and dedicated as they seemed appropriate adjectives to describe Jackie. Some of the other synonyms that we have are fervent, ardent, zealous, obsessive, fanatical, impassioned, enthusiastic, devoted, steadfast, committed, and faithful. So we're going to drop out fanatical and obsessive. We're going to put those to one side. And celebrate that Jackie is ardent and impassioned and steadfastly committed to our young people, to parents, to the kingdom of God, and to sharing and imparting truth in a way that brings the kingdom closer to us. So open your ears, open your hearts, and Jackie, come and share with us this morning.
Thanks, Grant. It is an epic introduction. Some people might say obsessive. I can own it if I need to. That is a great plug for my love for children's ministry and for parenting and for imparting truth into that. You know, I don't believe that parenting is a skill that really you can kind of learn and is completely separate from the rest of your life. I think we actually parent out of the sum total of who we are. So that's why I think like the first person you look at when you're struggling with our kids or our kids are presenting us with challenges is the first person you look at is you. Which is why a wee plug for the parenting course, actually, if you have that slide again, for next term, we're going to do run this parenting course. It's run by Danny Silk, so it's just videos and I'm just hosting it, essentially. I am so passionate about this course because it is really about upskilling you. It's giving you a revelation about how God leads you. And how we can lead our kids to be really healthy children and healthy adults and to do life well. And I'm so passionate about this that I want to make it as accessible as possible. So next term it will run for 8 weeks after church from 12 till 2, and we're providing you with lunch, we're providing a kids program, and you'll also get the course workbook, $50 registration. I can't make it any more accessible. It is not just for parents. It is for anyone who works with children, young people, grandparents, absolutely. You need to update your skills, all right? You come to parenting with kids with a tool bag, with tools in it, that you were handed from growing up. And unless you intentionally open that bag and look at what's in there, all right? Most of the time we reach into that bag and pull out our parent and go, how did you get in there? Yeah, that's because that's how you learn how to parent, is from your own experience. So this is a great course, and yes, please do sign up online. There's a registration connection on our website, and there's also a form over on the table over here if you want to sign up in person. So that is a wee plug for that. Now, I love talking about relationships. I think one of the things about my journey is I grew up in a really precious season of the church where the move of God came afresh, where the anointing was poured out, and we were blessed to be able to see manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and it was really, really powerful. But I guess part of my journey is I watched that, and I got to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of the church. I got to see a lot of awesome moves of God and people on the floor. I also still got to see that there was a lot of dysfunction. That God can move in a meeting and we are experiencing his power, but there still seems to be dysfunction in our relationships. And I guess it really has put me on a journey of going, you know, I think when God comes into our life, he's not coming, we can't separate him into the spiritual component of our life and leave our relational part of our life, our emotional maturity, our emotional intelligence, separate from him. He comes in and it's a full package, and he's interested in all of us. So as we grow in God, we shouldn't just be growing in our one-on-one relationship with him. That begins to manifest in our relationship with others. I think the two come hand in hand. So I want to read you a passage from the Bible just to start, and then we're going to pray. This is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And it starts with this. Now this is the goal. Everyone say, this is the goal. To live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness toward other believers. Note that's believers, okay? We're talking about other people who are also following Christ. Let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. Never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly, nor insult those who insult you, but instead respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God promised to give you. For the scriptures tell us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day must stop speaking evil, hurtful words, never deceive in what they say, always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is good. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. For the eyes of the Lord Yahweh rest upon the godly, and his heart responds to their prayers, but he turns his back on those who practice evil. Right, I just want to pray for a minute. Thank you, Lord, that you're speaking this morning. I just ask you move through what you've put on my heart to the hearts of those present, to the hearts of those online. And we just say, speak, Lord, we're listening. In Jesus' name. Yeah, hold that thought in mind. This is the goal, okay? That's a pretty intense passage, all right? Pretty intense passage about relationships. I was chatting with my 10-year-old daughter this week when I was asked to speak. And it was a little bit, because plans changed with Wes and Jan Auckland, there was a little bit, you know, not a lot of prep time for this Sunday before I got to say, choose to say yes if I wanted to. And she said, oh, what are you going to preach on, Mum? And I said, well, I'm thinking about maybe preaching on a message that I'd prepared for the women's camp I did earlier this term about how God sees us. But I'm also, I just have this feeling maybe I should be talking a little bit about relationships with others and how we relate to others. And she looks at me and she goes, I think the second one. Our century needs that. Now, she might have been meaning generation, but actually I think she got it right. Our century. You see, our century, right, since 2000 and on, the change of the century, there's been a massive shift, okay, in the way we do life and do relationships. It's the rise of social media. I'm not going to spend ages harping on about social media. You probably all are well familiar with the good, the bad, and the ugly of social media. But it has very much changed how we do relationships. It's become the age of, you know, you are entitled to give your opinion about anything and everything. And you will readily do it, okay? Readily give your opinion online. Doesn't matter if you know someone. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter if you think it's harsh or it's rude or derogatory, or whether you know the person or whether you don't know the person, whether the person has status or an important role or whether they don't. You just say what you like. And there's a very good chance that you probably wouldn't, most people actually, people who would never say it face to face, say all sorts of things online. And where once you might have only ever heard about a negative opinion about you or something you said, you know, via the grapevine once in a while, now it comes straight to your pocket and it's in your face all the time, right? And we have this wee addiction of scrolling through and finding out what people think about us. We become a little bit like these dogs here. Can we play this video? Let's hope it plays. That's right, all right? Online presence, okay? Not face-to-face. But we deal with a bit of this, okay? So, because it actually has created quite a nasty culture, you know, there's issues in your face all the time, stuff that you'd never have thought about if we didn't have this stuff feeding to us all the time. Issues, and often also issues that used to be kind of under the carpet are like in your face, and people are shouting what they believe from the rooftops. And so we have this kind of nasty culture. So the world, if I use that loosely, wants to counteract that. So to counteract this culture of, you know, just this nastiness and this everyone saying stuff about you, you see a lot of quotes and memes a bit like this. Not caring what other people think is the best choice you'll ever make. I've reached a point in my life where I feel it's no longer necessary to try and impress anyone. If they like me the way I am, good. If they don't, they're lost. One day you'll cease to care anymore about whom you please and what anybody has to say about you. That's when you'll finally produce the work you're capable of. I don't care what others think about me. I enjoy my life by my own rules. If you listen closely, you can hear the sound of me not caring. Happiness is truly not caring what others think of you. Now, each of these messages are sending you a very clear one altogether, which is, they're telling you that the one who cares the least wins. The one who cares the least wins. You will truly be happy when you don't care about what other people think of you. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to be confident. And I don't want you running around feeling like you have to please everybody and feeling like, you know, other people's opinions of you define who you are. That's not the goal. There's an element of truth through this. But there's also a really big problem with this thinking. It simply isn't true. It doesn't work. It doesn't work to just take on an attitude of I don't care as the answer to the pain and the rejection that you get from other people. And I want to give you kind of two reasons why this thinking fails to make us actually happy. And why, and that there is a much better way. See, the answer to your pain and the answer to the fear of what other people think of you, the answer to the rejection and the conflict is not to stop caring. The answer is to discover the one who cares about you more than anyone else and decide that what he thinks of you matters most. See, Psalm 139 tells me that he knows me. He knew me before I was born. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. His thoughts about me are numerous and they're good thoughts about me. So we know this. See, we get our true identity and ultimate acceptance from Jesus. And when Jesus comes into your life, he sets you free from the judgments and opinions of other people. And he overwhelms you with his perfect love and his perfect acceptance. Yes, he saves you from your sin. He saves your soul from an eternity in hell and he forgives all of your sin. But he doesn't set you free just so that you won't care anymore. He sets you free so that you can represent him to the world, to love people more and be able to listen to what they're saying without the fear of rejection. You cannot be the sole source of your own acceptance. You were not made that way. And you cannot be self-sufficient. See, don't even get me started on the songs. The songs, these are some quotes and memes. The songs. If you search in Google songs about confidence, okay, or songs about self-love, every single one, I mean, there's a lot. And they think it's confidence. But all these songs, all they tell you is, I'm great. I don't need no one. All right? You're all bad. I'm great. Like, seriously, they just can't help themselves. You get this really great song. Meghan Trainor's really good at this. She writes these really great songs about, I'm okay with my body the way it is. Like, that's great, Meghan. Or, you know, I'm really happy with who I am. But she just can't help but to slide in there a couple of lines that pull someone else down in order for her to feel good about herself. There's always a line about someone who's skinnier than her or someone who's different from her. So then we have to have lines like, if I was you, I'd want to be me too. I mean, it's kind of arrogant, right? So if it's told that we're confident, you're confident if you just don't care what other people think. The second reason why this thinking just doesn't work. If you buy into the thinking that you just don't care about what people think of you, then chances are you'll buy into the lie that you don't have to take any responsibility for how you affect the world around you. No one can tell you anything about you, and that makes you dangerous. And you can see this everywhere, right now. People have decided they don't care, so I can say what I want, I can do what I want, and if you tell me you don't like it, too bad. I don't have to adjust, I don't have to change, because I don't care, and that makes me happy, apparently. I don't care becomes, I don't care what others think of me, means that I can do what I want. And pretty soon, I don't care what they think of me becomes, I just don't care what they think, full stop. And right at that point, we sacrifice on the altar of self-protection one of our greatest needs, and that is our need for people. Now, I don't mean our need necessarily just for other people to like us, but you were created to need people around you. I'll tell you why. Genesis tells us that we were made in the image of God. And our God, unlike any other of the gods that people might serve or other religions, our God is a triune God, okay, which means he's not a singular God. He lives in a trinity. God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. So he knows what it's like to live intimately in relationship all the time. So therefore, the reason why you need relationship is because you were made like him. Does that make sense? And your research has proven, you can look up studies very easily about when they've studied what happens to children, even to adults, when they're isolated or when they don't get raised with people around them. We actually don't thrive on every level. We actually don't physically thrive, and we don't emotionally thrive, intellectually thrive. We just don't, because we're made to be relational people. See, because God has this relationship, it's what he wants us to do, wants us to have around us. And we need people around us because they actually contain information about you that you need. It's how you grow. You grow by being in relationship with people. You grow by having people around you. For the good things and the hard things, we grow when we're together. God uses people in our life. So when we buy into this self-protection mode of, I just don't care, we begin to damage our ability to grow. And so when you come into the kingdom of God, you know, I invite you, we come in to know the Holy Spirit, to know Jesus, to begin to experience his acceptance and his love for us. But you can't separate that off and go, I'll just have Jesus and no one else. It just doesn't work that way. I know sometimes we wish it would. Life would be a lot easier without people, right? It just doesn't work that way. I love how God puts into nature, he puts into us these great little examples and designs. And this is one of my favorite. And some of you will have heard this. This was a Danny Silk example that I absolutely love. But this is a wee example God's built in your body about how you need people around you. Your nose is about 1 inch away from your mouth, and you are the last person to know when you have bad breath. Just think about that for a minute. It's pretty close. But you need someone else to go, whoa, what's happening there? You need a tic-tac. Yeah? It's true. Someone else needed it. Do you know there are medical examinations their doctors sometimes do to tell you about something happening inside your body? It's your body. Don't you think you know what's going on in there? Actually, sometimes we have wee tests that doctors can do to tell you about what's happening inside your body. Because there's information out there that we need. We have a running joke in our family. This might be too much information, but when I usually wake up in the morning, before everyone else, and you know, I have my time with God, or I'm reading the Bible, and I have a coffee, first thing in the morning, just by myself. You know, and everybody has morning breath. Yeah, come on, everyone has morning breath. And then I have my coffee, and then I go and wake up my children. So, you know, I usually wake them up with a wee pat on the head, and I, come on, darling, it's time to wake up. And do it all very nicely, and then I'll walk away. And if I come back a little bit later and they still haven't moved, usually it comes along with a, don't make me use my superpower. And my superpower, of course, is my terrible morning coffee breath, which then they get pinned down and get to experience. I think it's a great superpower in the morning. It usually gets the kids out of bed, which is great. So you can use it to your advantage, right? Yeah, parenting technique. We'll cover that in the course. Not at all. Pick your own. But have you ever been up to someone and if you told them, hey, your breath smells really bad, and they go, oh, I don't care. Now, someone might. They might say, I don't care. So what do you do? Okay, I'm just not going to sit real close to you. If you just decide you don't care, people move away. You can't be close. You can't develop the relationships that you need. All right? You're telling people, my goal is not harmony with one another and affectionate love. My goal is to preserve myself, and I don't care how you experience me. People have information around you that you need. They really do. And if you decide I don't care, or I'm the only one who knows what's going on with me, we can become a little bit like this woman here. Some of you might have seen this too. If we've got that next video.
It's just, there's all this pressure.
Make sure it's turned up a bit.
And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
See, you're not even listening now. Okay, fine. It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't...
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go?
Not about the nail. Sometimes we don't know what we need, all right? Sometimes we need other people and we need to hear them. You don't get to decide for yourself all the time that you know everything you need. If I cut myself off from other people's opinions of me entirely, that I cut myself off from becoming a wiser person, a kinder person, a more healthy person, maybe someone who smells a bit better, maybe someone who doesn't have a nail in the middle of their forehead. I cut myself off. Graham Cook, he's a minister, well-known minister. He tells an amazing story about, and I'm just really summarizing it. He does a great job of telling it. But he tells a story about a time in his life where these three men came into his world and showed up in his meetings, and they made it their sole mission in life to discredit him. So they actively, before he would get to a town to run one of his schools, they would go into that town, they would contact the pastors, they would tell them, this man is evil, he's of the devil, don't let your congregation go to him, don't let him pray for you. They'd stand outside his meetings with placards saying much the same thing, and then they would also book into his meetings and sit on the front row. Crazy, like really, really intense. And this happened repeatedly. They end up kind of calling them the Three Stooges that would come into his meetings. And cutting it short, it's gone on for quite some time. I think it was actually over a year. It's quite a time that he has to deal with these men, and it's really, really hard. And he's going, God, you know, what do I do with these guys? This is tough. And then he has a dream one night. And in his dream, he's in the throne room of God, and he's sitting on God's lap. Because he's like, you know, Father, Son, just connecting with God, God the Father. And God says to him, do you want to see something? He goes, sure, sure, God, why don't you show me? And sort of he speaks to the side, and in pushes this big, beautiful block of marble in the middle of the room, about sort of 6 or so feet tall, big block of marble. And Jesus kind of wanders on in, and he sort of puts his finger in the marble, and he begins to sort of carve. And God's like, what do you think? He's like, cool, what is it? What is it? He's like, oh, well, let's keep watching. So then suddenly these three sets of arms kind of appear around this pillar and begin carving. And they begin chiseling and working it out. And as they do it, this beautiful form begins to take place. And they keep going, and God goes, what do you think? He goes, it looks amazing. And God goes, the work will go faster if you bless it. So he starts going, all right, I bless you, carvers. You know, come on, work hard. You're doing a great job. This is going to be amazing. Holy Spirit's like here with you. This, you know, he's blessing it, right? And they end up with this beautiful sculpture. And God says to him, what do you think? And he goes, that's just beautiful. What is it? And he goes, that's what I'm making you into. And he goes, wow. And God says, do you want to meet the sculptors? And he goes, sure. And behind the sculptor appear these three stooges. And he said, he got such a shock, he screamed, ah! So much so he woke up from his dream, terrified. These three sculptures, these men. And God reveals to him and goes, I'm using them to make you into something beautiful. And so he goes, I get it now. I get why they're in my life. I get it. And so the next time they give this conference, these guys, sure enough, they turn up. And they're sitting in the front row, and Graham goes up to them, and he's thinking, I'm so glad they're here. I was worried they wouldn't come now. Like, I know why they're here. I need them here, all right? And so he goes up, and he's like, I'm so happy to have you here. Thanks for coming. Can I get you a cup of tea? And he begins to bless them, and they're looking at him like, are you serious? Like, what are you doing? Because suddenly he realizes that God was using the most unlikely thing in his life to carve him into what he wanted. See, anything that you come across your way, it doesn't have to crush you. It doesn't have to break you. It doesn't have to turn you into a weak mess. You lean into your identity in Christ. You stay strong and you stay soft. And you let God use the circumstances of your life and use people, even the unlikely people, to create in you something that is beautiful. And this is very countercultural to the world. I know it is. But guess what? You signed up to Jesus. And he is countercultural. We need to trust our identity in Christ and stay soft, not hard. All right? He makes us strong. In fact, a phrase I've heard before, strong back. Soft heart. Don't become hard to people. I know people have hurt you. I know you've been let down. And I know that it's easier sometimes to wall up. But as hopefully we've unpacked, when you go into self-protect mode with I just don't care anymore, you also cut yourself off from really great things. You can't push away bad feelings and still keep open to love and joy. So our answer is to lean into Jesus, our identity in him, and then we can still show up to the people around us. We need a move of God in our relationships. We talk about a move of God in our meetings a lot, and I believe in them. I believe in a move of God in our meeting. But I actually think the greatest move of God is in our relationships, especially in the body of Christ. See, when I look through the scriptures, and I didn't bring a massive study to show you, I encourage you to do it for yourself. When I look through the scriptures, there is so much about loving one another. There is so much about relationship. And in actual fact, there's a few places in the scripture where they actively talk about what will draw unbelievers. And the only two things that I could find that get mentioned about what will draw unbelievers, one is signs and wonders. And the other is your relationship skills, how you show up, kindness, gentleness, great works, being humble. That's all I can see. And I put it to you, I propose that actually signs and wonders come when we get our relationships looking like God the Father wants them to look like. See, if you bring a move of God into the church, we want to see miracles, we want to see breakthrough. But I suggest we should look different. Jesus said, they'll recognize my church by their unity. Hello? I mean, I get it. This doesn't mean it's perfect. Oh, we are always going to be people. You're always going to be annoyed and aggravated by someone else, a believer or a non-believer alike. It's not about making us perfect, fluffy people who never get annoyed. But it's that we stay moving towards people. We don't shut ourselves down from people. We stay open and moving towards them. Listen to some of these scriptures. This is just a few of many. James 1:26. If someone believes they have a relationship with God but fails to guard his words, then his heart is drifting away and his religion is shallow and empty. Ouch. James 1:9. We use our tongue to praise God, our Father, and turn around and curse a person who was made in his image. This shouldn't be. James 1:11. Never, doesn't say try not to, it says never speak against another family member. For when you slander a brother or sister, you violate the law of love. 1 Peter 2:17, recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. This is a journey, not a destination. You're never going to reach a moment where you go, nailed it. I always love everybody. That's not the goal. The goal is to move towards that. The goal is to decide that I'm going to stay open to people. And if you don't know where to start, James 1:19 is the simplest, easiest piece of relational advice you could ever have. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Because going back to my beginning phrase, it's not the one who cares the least who wins. It's the one who loves and listens the best. Just listen. At the end of the day, the one who loves and listens the best wins. That's why this passage that I read from 1 Peter says, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day. I would quite like true life and beauty in each day. I don't know about you, but I would. Stop speaking evil, hurtful words. Cultivate what is good and pursue peace. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship. In every relationship. It's not the one who cares the least who wins. It's the one who loves and listens the best. When I just listen, when I'm brave enough to listen, because I'm leaning on my identity in Christ, I'm not terrified of what you think of me, but I'll stay listening because then one, I get to hear what's happening. If I listen, especially beyond your words, I get to find out what's happening for you. And then I can go, hey, I think this is what's happening. And then I get to learn about me. Now, sometimes it comes packaged in a not great way. People don't always say things very nicely. And sometimes it comes from people that I kind of didn't want to hear it from. And you could read the Bible and find some brilliant examples of people who stayed open to some pretty crazy, you know, feedback from others. I mean, David had a madman. They wanted to come running to him and they said, we're going to kill him. And he said, hang on, don't kill him. It might be God trying to speak to me. Would you take feedback from a madman? From a crazy person? But we stay open when we lean on our identity in Christ. This is the invitation to you today. To recap on that, it's not about not caring is the answer. And I hope you get this. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you are to please people. I hope that's clear. There's an element of truth in that, you know, like I don't care what people say about me. I get that. I get this confidence. But if that is all it is, it actually is. It's a hard answer. It's a front. It's a self-protect. And we can't stay soft when we're trying to self-protect. But when we stay in Christ and we go, you love me. I am truly accepted by you. Has anyone here been watching The Chosen? Hands up if you don't know what The Chosen is. The Chosen, a series. It's a series on being released. No? Some of you do? Okay. I honestly cannot recommend it enough. Watch The Chosen. Okay, the first season's available on YouTube free. The whole thing's free, but best watched on an app. You download The Chosen, and it will tell you about the history of it and what they're doing. They're running a multi-season series, the first of its kind, about the life of Jesus. And they are doing a beautiful job. And yet there's creative license in there, but they're doing a beautiful job of helping us understand the characters, the people around Jesus, and what their journey might have been like. You need to watch it. But it's interesting. See, Peter writes this passage about living in harmony with one another. Peter, now it will help you to watch The Chosen because you really get to know Peter. But even this through the scriptures, Peter was pretty judgmental, he was pretty brash, he was pretty harsh. He kind of thought quite a lot about himself actually, that he knew what was best a lot. It's massive that he's writing this passage. It shows what Jesus did in him, that he could lay down all of that to go, okay, I need to love other people. I strongly encourage you to watch The Chosen. It is a beautiful, beautiful series. Season 2's up to about the 4th episode, I think. So as they release it, as they come out. So there is an invitation today. I hope it wasn't too heavy, because this, I know it feels kind of heavy, but you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay, all right? I know you are. I know you're going to get through this. The invitation today, I want you to take away something. And because we come into a place like this, and we all come from so many different circumstances, I mean, isn't that an amazing thing? You all come in here from such different backgrounds, from different experiences this week. There's something for everyone. The first invitation, though, for you today is that if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, if you've never said, you know what, I believe he's the Son of God and he died for me, and I really need to know that I'm loved and accepted by him, then I invite you to come up this morning and to make that decision to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. That is your starting place. Your starting place is to be overwhelmed by his love for you and to be made new. So I do invite you to come. You can come now as I talk, or come again at the end. Some of you, when I talk about the idea of staying open to people and getting, you know, receiving information from people around you, you just go, that just terrifies me. I just am too wounded, I'm too hurt, I'm too scared to do that. And you'll know if that's you, okay? And if that is you, then again, the invitation is, if you would like to come forward, if you would like to receive some ministry, not as a one-off moment, but as a starting point, to go home and to be going, Jesus, reveal yourself to me as the one who accepts me for who I am. Then I invite you to start that journey today, to let him just heal you from the hurt of people around, and to encounter his total acceptance of who you are, because it will change your life and it will change your relationships. Some of you feel pretty good, actually. You feel pretty strong in who you are and who you are in Jesus, but you know you've taken on a little bit of that I just don't care attitude. And you struggle to kind of give value to people who you just think are silly, or they clearly are silly. And there's a lot of this going on. I mean, I hear my kids are pretty passionate about some issues that come up at the moment in the media, and they've probably heard me be pretty passionate at times, and we say things about people and go, oh my goodness, they know nothing, or that's so silly. Actually, we have to stop ourselves sometimes and go, yeah, what they said is pretty extreme, but they were made in the image of God and they're valuable. What's going on for them? So if that's you, then I invite you this week just to daily think of people in your life that you have decided, I don't care what you think, and just sit with that and be brave and say, Holy Spirit, help me see them the way you do. Not easy, but give it a go. I reckon you can do it. And if you're feeling really brave today, super brave, who's feeling brave? Anyone feeling brave? You're like, no, one person, thank you, Kim. All right. If you're feeling brave, you might even go out and ask a couple of people in your life this question. How are you experiencing me? What's it like being my friend, being my colleague, being my husband, my wife? Parents, it's a really amazing thing to ask your kids. What's it like? Are there times when sometimes I scare you? Are there times where you don't think I love you? Kids are honest, and it's a really, really powerful moment to let them say something to you about what they need and about how they experience you. And don't answer back. Just say, thank you very much. And take it away and just pray about it. That's if you're feeling particularly brave. Why don't we stand? So I'd like to invite those of you, if you are here and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to invite him in, then please come forward now. Our ministry team, I will get you to respond to ones as they come. If you just know that it's triggered for you that sense of insecurity, yeah, I'm really not anchored in Christ, I'm really scared of what people think of me, then I'd love you to come as well, and we just begin to pray and you have an encounter with Jesus to go, I'm okay. And for those of you, just, you know, the other responses there, just take a moment to go, okay, I'm going to love better this week. And I'm going to let go of my judgments and my criticism, because I want to usher in the kingdom of God. I, like I said, it's a journey. I'm not perfect on this. But I just feel like the gap between how we are and how the world is should be widening drastically. The gap should be growing. So don't dance around with those values of I can say what I want and I don't care what you think. Don't dance around with them. Lean hard into the kingdom of heaven, which is I'm strong, I'm anchored in Christ, so that I can love people well without being afraid of rejection. Is there anyone who wants to respond to any of that this morning? If not, that's fine. We'll just pray where we are. Awesome. Okay. All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just give you praise for your word this morning. I pray that it lands in our hearts. We thank you that you've made a way for us to have our chin up in this world and know who we are in you, so that we can love others well, so that we can let others speak into our life without being afraid of how it will affect us. Help us to be brave this week, willing to adjust in our connections and willing to let you work in us in all areas of our life. For a move of God, a move of you across our connections and our relationships in the body of Christ. Just pray your own prayer for a minute. Talk to God about what you feel in your heart. Be really honest. Be really honest. Pray you have an amazing week. Tonight, prophet, come back tonight. Come back tonight to practice some of the things you're learning, to practice about reaching out to others with God's voice. Remember, it's not about the nail. Actually, it is about the nail. It is really about the nail. Awesome. Cool. Have a good week, guys.
Thanks, Jackie.